Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on the sportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And Ray Woodson is our regular guest, too.
A lot of ifs, but after a disastrous 2017, the Giants were not going to rebuild. They're at least trying to compete, while many teams in the majors are tanking.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. Today's guest is Ray Woodson, but before we talk to Ray, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Now let's get to the conversation with Ray Woodson. Well, Ray, the trade deadline has passed. The Giants stood pat. They didn't do anything at the trade deadline. And it was funny because just before the trade deadline, I was thinking to myself, I think the Giants need to be sellers. And I think they're going to trade Andrew McCutchen. His contract runs out at the end of the year, and maybe some other veteran players. And then just before the deadline, they win that game against the Brewers. It looked like they were going to get swept of the four-game series. They win that game. They sweep two in San Diego now after the deadline. They win the first game in Arizona. All of a sudden, you have a four-game winning streak, and there's optimism. And maybe it wasn't so bad that they were not doing anything at the trade deadline. What did you think?
Yeah, it's been kind of a yo-yo season, hasn't it? And, you know, a few weeks ago, I was thinking, yeah, they should probably buy, you know, maybe get another arm for the bullpen. Well, it turns out Ray Black is that other arm. Maybe they should get another bat. Necessity being the mother of invention, they've had to go young with all the injuries, and they may find something that they can stick with there. We'll find out about it, somebody like an Austin Slater, over an extended period of time. So, yeah, it's should they buy? Should they sell? I think for the Giants, you know, you have to consider all possibilities, but I don't think they ever considered a full sell. It's not binary, right? It's not total sell. It's not total buy. It's when you're in a position the Giants are in, it's kind of a hybrid of that. You're looking to maybe sell off some pieces if you can, if you get a good deal, but it's going to have to be something that knocks your socks off. You don't want to be in a position where you're desperate. And I don't think they were. They're just been hovering around 500, and that has been good enough to at least stay in contention. You're not getting mathematically eliminated this year. Nobody's running away with the National League West. At the same time, you've got these young players, and you want to see what they're about. What better way to do that than play meaningful games, right? As long as you're in contention, get these guys out there and let them have that experience. It can prove invaluable down the road. So I think for them, if they were going to buy, it would be to buy not just for this year, but for controllable years. They talk a lot about that because, of course, they're hard up against the luxury tax, and they want to think about positioning themselves in the off season for what's going to be a pretty rich free agent market. So all that factors into it. I think if you're the Giants, you buy for the future, and you buy with an eye toward keeping under that tax and making a bid for one of the big names out there. A lot of talk about Bryce Harper. He didn't get dealt before the deadline. And all of a sudden, by the way, the Nationals are taking a giant club and beating everybody over the head with it ever since they decided not to pull the trigger on a Harper deal. And, you know, this is sort of the yin and yang you go through this time of year when you're in a position the Giants are in, because it's buy, sell. You know, it looked like they were falling out of contention, looked like a dog that wouldn't hunt. And then all of a sudden they get this little winning streak, and that changes the whole dynamic. And then, of course, there's the August deals that you can still make, the waiver deals. So I think we'll have a much clearer picture at the end of this month.
Well, you mentioned Ray Black, and he's gone 9 1/3 innings without allowing a base hit now. He just looks great. I mean, it, not only his fastball, I mean, he's pretty much unhittable with that. And then he's got the slider and the curveball, and hitters are just completely befuddled. I mean, Paul Goldschmidt had a swing at a fastball where he was thinking probably breaking ball, and he just looked terrible on it. So you look at Black, and you look at the other young players that are contributing, and maybe there isn't a guy that stands out as being a no-brainer prospect, but guys like Slater and Duggar are contributing, and Hanson, you know, coming off the bench yesterday, all these guys that you didn't know were going to contribute are helping out. I think that's promising. It's probably good the Giants didn't trade one of their younger guys to try to get a veteran, you know, as a rental, because it's a good opportunity to take a look at these guys, like you were saying.
Yeah, I think one thing that you had to discount right away is getting a veteran rental and dealing off what was left of your farm system. I think if there was going to be any deal, it would be McCutchen, whose contract is coming up, and that's still possible, and give these young players even more time. But at the same time, it's nice to have accomplished veterans surrounding those young players, and McCutchen is certainly an accomplished veteran, and, you know, he's not had a great year. I feel like he really hasn't gotten untracked all year long, but, you know, he could get a hot streak and really help out this club still. You know, he's not the player that he was a few years ago, the MVP caliber player, but he could still be effective having him around, having Crawford around, having Bumgarner around, having Posey around. These young players, I think, can also be invaluable to them. So, yeah, Ray Black, I'm going to say something I hardly ever say about a Giants pitcher, or any pitcher for that matter, but he absolutely abused Goldschmidt in that at bat. That was a real eye-opener. Now, mind you, I mean, a lot of these major league hitters haven't seen Black, and so they don't know exactly what kind of stuff he has. They're finding out real fast, aren't they? Because he throws an easy 97, 98 miles an hour, and you know, he's been spot on since his initial outing where he gave up the 3-run homer. So that was, by the way, another good test for him as well. A good barometer of how he approaches things. He didn't let the home run bother him. He's really found his groove, and that's been, you know, invaluable to a team that, you know, the bullpen was getting kind of frayed at the seams because early in the year the starters weren't going deep. These guys were getting used up a lot, and there's still some issues. You know, there's issues with a guy like Melanson, and now Johnny Cueto having Tommy John surgery. So, again, some young arms have to step up, and that's what's happened with guys like Derek Rodriguez and Andrew Suarez.
Yeah, we won't see Cueto until 2019, late in the season at the earliest. He may be out for the entire season next year. You know, meanwhile, Madison Bumgarner, you know, he's the ace of the staff, but he really hasn't looked like an ace right now. He threw a lot of pitches. He was in trouble early in the game and really was fortunate to get out of a couple of situations in the first two innings. Ends up throwing 101 pitches in five innings. And yeah, he only gave up one run and he got the win, but he just doesn't look the same right now. And I don't know, it's not so much a drop in velocity. It's more just him commanding his pitches in the strike zone. He doesn't seem to be able to hit the corners the way he would like. And it reminds me a little bit of Tim Lincecum in that hitters are being asked to chase pitches out of the zone, and they're kind of, you know, making contact with those pitches in the zone. So I think it's a little frustrating for Mad Bum right now. What are you seeing?
Well, I think the command issue is what really stands out, because that's one thing about this guy. When he's been right throughout his career, he's had outstanding command. And he's had games this year where he's really struggled with his control, had a 6-walk game. You know, that you don't see that from Bumgarner. So I think he's still trying to calibrate. And I don't think it's really velocity that's an issue. We brought that up at the start of last year just because his velocity was down a little bit. But it wasn't so much that you sound off the alarm bells, and his velocity picked up during the year. And of course, this is after the dirt bike accident. You know, this year was just kind of a freakish injury at the end of spring training that sidelined him. And then he went through his spring training, you know, trying to get back into the groove during the regular season. And it may yet come this year, but that's been the scuffle for him, is finding consistent command. If he finds it, he'll be the guy that we're used to seeing. And, oh, by the way, he's still not that far off. He has an ERA just over 3. So, you know, there's some things you're not used to seeing from Bumgarner. I'm sure it's a little frustrating to him, and he's got to just work through it. He's not a guy who's going to panic or anything like that. We know that. So, I mean, they're going to keep rolling him out there, and hope that eventually he finds it. But yeah, you know, the scuffle through five innings, admittedly against a potent lineup, you know, it's not something we're used to seeing from Bumgarner. But I see more signs also of the old Bumgarner as well. And by the way, I mean, he pitched through a lot of traffic last night and got through it and did enough through five innings. And, you know, these days you do that, you often earn the win, especially when your team, you know, adds on runs late in the game, which the Giants haven't been doing. They put a lot of pressure on their bullpen that way. But I think with Bumgarner, it's just going to take time. I think we're going to see the real Bumgarner before the end of the year. And I think, you know, we can talk about this too, about, you know, what kind of offers the Giants were getting for Bumgarner. Was his performance, you know, so far off that teams weren't, you know, throwing out attractive offers? It sounded like, from what Bobby Evans was saying, that they did get some feelers. They did get some phone calls about Bumgarner, but obviously nothing that knocked their socks off.
Yeah, and that's probably what they were looking for in that regard. And, you know, I guess for me, the reason why it reminds me a little bit of Tim Lincecum at the end of his tenure is that he's not getting those swing throughs on his fastball. He seems to be relying more on the breaking pitches and the cutter, but the fastball doesn't seem to be fooling hitters the way it did. I mean, at least, you know, a lot of hitters, I don't think, picked it up very well out of his hand earlier in his career. And it seems like, I don't know, especially the Diamondbacks hitters, they just seem to be on it when he threw a fastball.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, scouting report, and that's time facing a pitcher. And, you know, a guy becomes familiar, you start picking up little things. I mean, with Bumgarner, it's always been with that delivery. He hides the ball so well, and it's a slow windup, and it's a quick release, and then that ball is on you. So even though it's 91, 92, it might seem like 95, 96, with some action in on the hands and for the right-handed batters with the cutter. So he's, you know, maybe not fooling as many people with the fastball, but I also think that it goes back to the command as well, you know, his ability to spot the pitch exactly where he wants it. And I think what we've seen this year, too, is when he's missed in the zone, you know, he's missed his target a little bit. We're not used to seeing that. This is a guy who, throughout his career, could not only throw it to a shoebox, he could throw it to a quadrant inside the shoebox. And that's, you know, when you're a little off, and you're not overpowering, well, you're going to get hit hard. You know, he's not a classic power pitcher, but he's been certainly effective throughout his career. I guess if you talk about a hitter, you talk about sneaky power. That's the way it's been with Bumgarner, a little bit of sneaky power. But, you know, there have been times, as we have seen throughout his career, he's put this team on his back. Well, he's 29 now. He's had a up and down last couple of years, and he's got a lot of mileage. So those are all things to consider, by the way, as the Giants go into the offseason and decide whether to extend him for a long-term deal that is going to be very pricey or to go somewhere else in the free agent market.
Meanwhile, Derek Rodriguez is looking like a legitimate National League Rookie of the Year candidate. I know Brian Anderson probably has the lead in that category, the outfielder with the Miami Marlins. He's been hitting the ball great. But every outing, Derek Rodriguez just goes out there, you know, 7 innings, 1 run, 6 innings, 2 runs. You know, I'm just looking back on the previous outings, and it's just so consistent. And he's, I mean, he's just pretty amazing for a guy who was in the minor leagues earlier this year. He just looks so locked in, 2.59 ERA and a 5-1 record right now. I mean, the Giants really can count on him. It's amazing how a guy like that can step up. I mean, sure, Suarez has been good too, but Rodriguez, I mean, he's just been above and beyond what anybody thought he would be.
He's totally found money for the Giants this year. They didn't think he'd be on the roster going into spring training. He's, you know, again, necessity being what it is with the injuries to starting pitchers, he's had to fill a void, and man, has he done a good job. And, you know, I think he had the right makeup to handle this situation with a Hall of Fame dad. He's been around baseball a long time. So, you know, a former position player, we've talked about it, kind of looks like a position player pitching. And then you watch him more and more and understand that he's learning the art of pitching, and he's learning it fast. And he's got some upside to him. You know, maybe he adds a pitch down the road. That may be something he could stand to do. But, boy, he's got a great pitch, breaking pitch, and he's got a fastball, again, that has some late life to it. And consistent, by the way, you mentioned it. He's not like consistent game to game. He's been consistent inside the game. He'll throw the same in the sixth or seventh inning You know, he'll have the same velocity and same action on his pitches that he had earlier in the game. He's just been a tremendous find for the Giants. And I don't know how he pans out long term. Looks to me like a guy who could be a solid middle of rotation pitcher, though. And by the way, with every start, he's making a stronger and stronger argument for Rookie of the Year. And, you know, this is a team that may still be playing some meaningful games in September, at least you hope so, as opposed to the Marlins. So that could balance the scales in his favor as well. I still think he's got a good shot at it. And by the way, 5-1, it's a deceptive 5-1. There are games where, you know, he got kind of cheated out of a few W's. So, yeah, he's pitched like an ace for the Giants, where Bumgarner hasn't quite been that. It could, you know, I mean, over time, scouting reports, hitters get used to a guy. He's going to have a course correction, and Bumgarner will probably pitch better. So that'll balance itself out. But right now, it's really been impressive to see with this kid. And I would expect, you know, that there's going to be a few games where he's going to get cuffed around before the end of the year. And he's in a long season for a guy who hasn't pitched a long time. You know, you get into August and September, it can kind of wear you down a little bit. But so far, so good for this guy. And, you know, it's hard to project long-term with pitchers. You know, we just saw Johnny Cueto go under the knife. And this is happens far too often with pitchers nowadays. But this is somebody who could be a real pillar for the Giants' rotation in the future.
All right, to finish up, and we might talk more about this next week. We've got Barry Bonds and his number being retired on Saturday, August the 11th. So as we sit here, that's 8 days from now. And I know there are a lot of Giants fans that are really excited about that. I'm up in the air about that, Ray, to be honest. And I don't know if you heard about the podcast I did with Steve Bitker earlier this week, but it caused a firestorm of reaction on Facebook because Steve Bitker came out and said that Barry Bonds disgraced the Giants uniform and he disgraced the game and he did it for nearly a decade because of the steroids. And so I would say the reaction was 90% just ripping Steve Bitker because people are supporting Bonds. But for me, I'm not sure that I care as much about it when you're talking about the number, because I think that has more to do with what you did for the team and everything. But I think when you're talking about Hall of Fame and you have the clause in there about the integrity, sportsmanship, and character, that's where I have a problem with Bonds and other players who are, you know, really pretty obvious as far as taking PEDs. What's your opinion on it? First of all, the number being retired and then the Hall of Fame.
Well, considering his role in San Francisco Giants history, there's no doubt his number should be retired. They probably, one of the reasons they're able to stay in this town and to build that stadium is because of Barry Bonds, one of the all-time great free agent signings in sports history, baseball or anything. I mean, he paid off dividends to the Giants that it's hard to calculate for whatever money he was paid. I said it on the air when he left the game, even though it was under circumstances that I'm sure weren't pleasing to him, because I think his last year he had an over 900 OPS. He was still one of the most effective hitters in the game. But clearly, if it wasn't collusion, it was consensus that he wasn't going to play baseball again. But when he left the game, I think he was all square with the Giants. Whatever disgrace he brought to the Giants, he brought a lot of fans, too, and brought a lot of excitement at a time that they didn't have a very good team. If you're going to talk about the character clause, you might as well take half the people out of the Hall of Fame. All right, so there are a whole lot of violations of the character clause, or whatever you want to call it, among players there. Players in the past who used greenies. You had a bunch of players who didn't even play in an integrated league. So it's like apples and oranges trying to compare their feats against the modern-day players. And he was the only guy who might have been using PEDs? The problem with Bonds is he was too good. And so that put him under the radar, kind of singled him out as an example that everybody used for criticism, as a lightning rod. Listen, he was not my favorite guy when he was a player as far as a personality. I loved watching him hit. And if you know the game at all, whether you account for PEDs or not, you have to recognize he's one of the greatest hitters ever to play this game. He's the best hitter I saw in my lifetime, outside of maybe Tony Gwynn. I mean, the combination of power and batting eye, and the percentage of hittable pitches that he squared up, the guy was unbelievable. And at advanced age, and of course, the cynic will say, well, there's a reason he was able to accomplish what he did to an advanced age. But you don't do those things if you don't have a base of tremendous ability. I always felt like, you know, he cheated. He didn't need to, as did a lot of players in the game. The ones that really, I think, rankle some people are those players who cheated and took a job from somebody who didn't cheat. Barry Bonds was going to be a Hall of Fame level player no matter what. Now, the last few years, he's been Mr. Happy, right? He was a surly guy when he was playing.
Right.
You know, he was claiming that he was playing a character. I don't buy that at all. I think he's not that good an actor. He was what he was, and he's trying to make amends now, and good for him. And, you know, he's been a very pleasant presence around the stadium the last couple of years, you know, trying to do the rehabilitation tour. You do what you got to do. There's no question in my mind that he is a Hall of Famer. There are people in the Hall of Fame now who have been juicing, who were juicing. There's no doubt about it in my mind. And there'll probably be more. But I think over time, what you're going to see is a generational shift in how fans and how voters look at it. And it was just part of an era. It was part of an era. And you can only compare yourself to your era. And in his era, he was a premier ball player.
Oh, I agree with what you said there. I think the Hall of Fame character clause is what really needs to be eliminated, because that would make it a lot easier. Then you don't have to worry about thinking about sportsmanship, integrity, and character, because like you said, it could be hypocritical with players from the past. I guess for me, I continue to be really disappointed with not only Bonds and Roger Clemens, but anybody who was cheating at all. I mean, it just sets a bad example. But I agree. I mean, Bonds was a Hall of Fame caliber player. I loved watching him hit. I mean, every at bat, you didn't want to miss it. And Roger Clemens was a 7-time Cy Young Award winner. I mean, these guys are Hall of Fame type players, but I guess the disappointment still sticks with me. I'm not on the same page as Steve Bitker saying that, you know, disgracing a uniform, but it still sticks with me. It just bothers me. And again, I mean, you don't have that clause when you're talking about retiring a number, so I'm okay with that. I just think Cooperstown, they need to figure out how to eliminate the clause if they want to make it easier. Otherwise, it just makes it difficult. You're trying to judge a player on those criteria. I think that's very difficult.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of voters discount that clause, that character clause anyway. They just look at the ball player. I think you've seen it with the rising percentages. And listen, Clemens is a jerk. I never liked Clemens, but I think he should be in the Hall of Fame too. Curt Schilling is an unconscionable jerk, but he should be in the Hall of Fame too. I think he was Hall of Fame level player. But, you know, I mean, that's everybody's going to have their opinion. That's what the game's about. It goes from one end of the scale to the other. But, I mean, you're going to single out these guys because they were too good, right? I mean, there are hundreds of players who were doing what these guys were doing. And, in Bond's case, I think it was a little bit of ego, too, after Sosa McGuire and their home run race in 1998 getting all the glory. And he's sitting there thinking, I'm probably the best player all around in the game. Where's the love? And so he decided he would get the love by doing some stuff, if you believe all the stories that have been written. That's human failings. That's human frailty. But that was the era. Baseball did not crack down on it. Baseball was profiting from it. The owners profited fabulously from it. So, where's the disgrace in the dollars they're raking in and putting their bank accounts because of all the excitement was generated, maybe artificially, by players using PEDs. And a lot of these players felt like they had to use it. There was pressure to use it to keep up with the competition. Now, you didn't know in your own clubhouse who was using sometimes. Sometimes you did. It was pretty obvious. In a few cases, very obvious. But in other cases, not so much. And, you know, you had suspicions about your competition, what they were doing. And so that I think, was a heavy influence as well. I wouldn't say it's an era that's gone by. Players are still getting nicked here and there for substance abuse and using performance-enhancing drugs. But baseball is handling a lot better than they used to. They're handling it like they probably should have from the get-go. But for various reasons, including financial, there wasn't a lot of incentive to do that for a long, long time. So you have to figure that into the equation as well before you start singling out one player as a disgrace.
All right, well said. And we've heard both sides of it this week. It's been great. I love it. I love hearing all different sides of a discussion like that. So, well, Barry Bonds will have his day in the sun next Saturday, August the 11th at AT&T Park. Should be quite a day. Ray, thanks so much for
your time. Put him in the lineup.
Put him in the lineup? Oh, well, yeah. They could use some offensive
punch.
That'll
bring out the fans. Oh. Yeah, really.
That would be something if you could do that.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he can catch up to a fastball the way he used to, but yeah, give him an at-bat. What the hell?
A pinch-hitting appearance wouldn't be bad, no doubt.
Yeah.
All right, Ray, thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good, Joe.
That's Ray Woodson. We'll talk to him again next week as the Giants are back home, taking on the Houston Astros and then the Pittsburgh Pirates for their next homestand at AT&T Park. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.